an insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, earlier in the show, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Vinny broke down the Ravens' offense, 28-25 win over the Dallas Cowboys, and for the most part, everything was fine there. Now let's get to the defense, and Vinny, what happened, especially in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, let's just talk a little bit about a few of the players that played well. I thought Michael Pierce and Travis Jones against the run, I thought they were excellent against the run. And in the defensive line, they did a really nice job keeping their shoulders square, playing good fundamentals. That's what impressed me, and that's why, you know, they're the number one team against the rush in the league, because they do a hell of a job. Now, also defensively, Kyle Hamilton was much more involved, Bob. I mean, you saw him blitzing, coming off the corner, and all those things, and Roquan was more involved, too. I still, Bob, think that he's not moving like he... I don't know if he's got a little injury or something. He had 12 tackles or whatever it was, and he played well. But he's still not moving like he's moved last year. That's kind of the way I feel. And with Marcus Williams, I mean, I don't know if he feels like he's still playing with one arm or what, but... You know, I mean, at training camp, he was in mini camps and stuff, he was much more active and engaged and making plays. And I mean, you know, he missed a couple tackles and he missed the ball where he had a chance to intercept. He's not making plays. Like when he first got here, bam, bam, bam. Damn, yeah. Marcus Williams, a hell of a, got four interceptions, leading the league in interceptions. Like he ain't doing nothing. Nothing. And that's part of, you know, what's gone wrong in the fourth quarter. And the other thing is Ajabo, his pass rushes were all bad. I didn't think any of them. I was disappointed in all of them. Tavius Robinson gets no pressure whatsoever. Malik Harrison, no pressure. Vannoy's still creative as hell, man. I mean, he's a threat every time because he's so smart. And he got every counter in the book. And Owe kind of got some traction when they stunted him. You know, when they brought him inside, he got the penalty on the one. But his outside rushes and those tackles were not good. That was the thing that disappointed me. Like Guyton, the left tackle for the Cowboys. You know, I mean, the first time that Vannoy's in there, he does that spin move, bam, he's right in there. But the problem is with Ajabo is he's and Owe. They're going back to their spin moves and... They're doing it right in front of the guy. You know, you're not gaining any edge. The guy's just sitting there and says, okay, you want to spin around? Go right ahead.
Maybe they're trying to make him dizzy or something.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about Wiggins, you know, a little bit. He plays soft, and then he got a bunch of penalties. Learning experience for him. And Stevens is still going to be Stevens because he can't find the deep ball. And on the touchdown, he did the same thing. Now, Washington, I thought Washington was playing a hell of a game. I mean, he was making plays, covering up people, doing some really nice stuff, except on that touchdown. You talk about losing the ball. I mean, he was still, you know, the guy was standing in the end zone, caught it, and he didn't even know where the ball was. You know, so that was a little disappointing. Defensively, I think they got tired. And the 91-yard drive up, they probably missed five tackles. And was that... You know, they were tired because they were lunging. None of them were bringing their legs or adding their legs into their tackles and stuff. And they were giving chunk plays to the number 40 fullback. Looked like he's about 5'8". You know, Humphrey and Hamilton missed tackles. So three of your four DBs, Bob, were missing tackles. And, you know, Humphrey, Hamilton, and Williams all missing. And even Roquan all missing tackles down the stretch there, and they can't do that because that gives them easy yards. And instead of, you know, that kid getting like 30 yards, if he gets it where Hamilton gets it, 8 yards, you know, how many more seconds does it take to get those 30 yards back? So I think that's a big part of problems with the defense. And the biggest thing I see is they don't have a closer. Like we saw Lamar close the offensive game. Just, all right, I hit the pass, You know, and then I run the ball, get the other first down, we're kneeling. On defense, nobody's stepping up to make that play. You know, is that Kyle Hamilton? You know, who's coming in, blitz, sack, doing those types of things? Nobody's making plays. You know what everybody's doing? They're missing tackles and doing those types of things instead of making a big play. Can you imagine if Lamar throws an incompletion there to Flowers? The Ravens are going to lose.
At the very least, we're going in overtime.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, do they get tired as the game goes on? They give up a ton of yards passing. A ton. They're the worst in the league in passing. They give up almost 400 yards passing in this game. And you got to challenge receivers. I think they got to get up, challenge them a little bit more. And this week against Buffalo, Bob, none of them are, you know, one's a rookie and other guys are not named guys. And get up and, you know, you're better than them. If I'm better than you, I'm not playing off because then I'm playing into your hands. I'm giving you options. No, I'm going to take away some options from you. So that's the biggest thing in a fourth quarter, Bob, is somebody step up, make a play.
Back-to-back games, they've had double-digit leads in the fourth quarter, wound up losing to the Raiders. Yep. And as we just talked about, things got really dicey against Dallas. Now, Bowers and Adams beat them a couple of weeks back. Last year with Dallas, it wasn't CeeDee Lamb or Jake Ferguson, even though he had a big catch there on one of those drives. It was the other guys who were making the big plays.
See, and I think, Bob, is that why Harbs went kind of conservative? You know, instead of going conservative and punting, knowing this, because you do that and say, hey, my defense can hold them going 91. No, they haven't stopped them yet in the fourth quarter. I got to go for it on fourth down to eat clock. You know, you got to, how's my defense playing? In the first half, Bob, I'm punting. They were doing great. In the second half, we can't stop them. So what do I got to do to stop them? I got to have the offense stop them by eating clock. And if I've got to go for it on fourth and two, it doesn't matter if I punt it down there and they got to go 91 or I give it up to you on the 40 or 38-yard line, because we're going to have our time stopping them anyhow.
5880-1057, the Fan, NFL Lunch / Film Study. And real quick, as we've talked offense, defense, how are we looking at special teams 3 weeks in to the season?
Disappointed. Bob, every game we're talking about special teams negatively, and it starts, Justin Tucker's missed a field goal in every game. The punter in the Oakland game stunk. Oh, he was better this past week. But, I mean, Bob, the Ravens are up three, and they're kicking deep, and we need a good return or whatever. And Borg, your leader, special teams guy, just does lazy, grabs the guy around the neck, and then gets 15-yard penalty and puts the Ravens back. Instead of being on the 32, decent field position, you know, now you're back on the 15, and if you don't get a first down, they're almost in field goal range. I mean, that was dumb. You know, they've just done a lot of dumb things, stupid penalties. I'm to the point, Bob, where, hey, Justin, just put it in the end zone. We'll give it to him on the 30. I'm not going to, you know, worry about getting a penalty. The only plus about that kickoff return is if the other team gets a penalty, they get on the 15. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of a waste. And I don't like the Ravens returning it because we don't ever get it to the 30-yard line. And if they do, there's a penalty. So special teams is work in progress.
Not real special.
No.
So far there. If you missed this news, everybody, real quick with the Ravens. Yannick Ngakoue signed to the practice squad a couple of days back. His ETA for a regular season appearance is what you think?
I would bet, Bob, against the Bengals would be my bet. Yeah, just because he's a natural rusher. He's a natural sack guy. And they don't have, they're kind of struggling, other than Van Noy right now, they're kind of struggling. And I think when we see Ngakoue, we'll see him out lined up a little wider, wide nine, and do your thing. Beat that, just win one-on-one. I don't care how you do it, win one-on-one. Go left, go right, whatever you got to do, win.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report and beyond. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Talk about the Ravens hosting the Bills. Dallas in the rearview mirror. Ravens back in practice today, getting ready for that matchup against the undefeated Buffalo team. Orioles in the Bronx tonight, trying to make it two in a row against the Yankees. They clinch the wild card, at least one of them. They can get that home field in the wild card. If Detroit loses and they win tonight, Zach Eflin against the Yankees. Announced, saw Stroman could be a possibility because Nestor Cortez getting an MRI. He is scratched for New York.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Only a couple more segments to go. You want to hear a song, favorite female artist or band, get your request. Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. Get back to your phone calls. Bottom of the hour. Orioles win last night 5-3 over the Yankees, as we talked about in the first hour of the show. And with Jim Hunter, last hour. 5-3 final score. Anthony Santander, Ramona Rios, Colton Kowser all go deep. Dean Kramer, 5 strong. As he gets the win, he's been outstanding here in the second half of the season. His last 8 starts, earned run average below 3. Orioles sit at 87-70, 43-33 on the road. Zach Eflin, 10-9 with a 353 overall, but he's 5-2 with a 231 for the Orioles. So he's on the hill, 7:05 first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, coming up tonight at 6 with Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Yankees 92-65, 42-34 on the year. They win tonight. They win the East. Nestor Cortez will not be part of the equation. He is getting an MRI with a bulky elbow, pitching elbow at that. That would be hit. You all right over there, Vinny? Give him something to drink, Nolan. So will it be Stroman tonight? Do they go elsewhere? Stroman kind of got banished to the bullpen, who was part of their rotation. He's been pitching out of the pen, but he hasn't pitched in 8 days. So we'll see what Aaron Boone decides to do. But that's their problem moving forward. Well, Minnesota's got major problems. The Twins, that is. As they lose, the Orioles clinch. But the Miami Marlins, who've had a miserable season, even Skip Schumacher, who hasn't been fired yet, is resigned to the... He was manager of the year last year in the National League. But, hey, the Miami problems, they became Minnesota's problems last night.
Seems like both teams are swinging like they've got dinner plans. Speaking of, another one on the first pitch, and this one's going to get down into left center field. That'll score one easily. Fortes around third. He's going to score. Xavier Edwards out toward left center field with a 2 RBI double.
2 ribbies. Xavier Edwards, 4-1 was the final score. Bally Sports on the call there. The Minnesota Twins, their offense, they got Correa back. They got Buxton back. They just didn't get their mojo back. They looked like they were in a very strong playoff situation. Now they're on the outside looking in. And one of the main reasons is the Detroit Tigers are on fire.
Right field side, toward the corner. Down and fair. It's over the wall. 2 runs come home. Wenzel wins once again.
Wenzel Perez with the 2-run double. That was Bally Sports on the call. 2-1. Detroit Tigers take out the Tampa Bay Rays to improve their status as a possible wild card team here in 2024. The Kansas City Royals had lost seven in a row, and they were on the brink again last night until their stud, wasn't exactly a ringing base hit, but he got the job done.
And Junior grounds it to the left side. Nunez charges and throws on a bounce, and the ball gets away. Here's Isbell down from third, and the Royals take the lead.
You guessed it, Bally Sports on the call. Bobby Witt, infield single, 10th inning. That proved to be the only run of the game as the Royals get a much-needed win. One zip over the Nationals. Also last night, it was Houston 4-3 over Seattle. Jason Hayward hit a two-run homer as the Astros clinch the American League's Western Division. They were at one point 10 back of Seattle. They win the division yet again, so congratulations to them. And last night, Padres taking on the Dodgers, and this is how the ball game ended.
Rojas on the ground to third. Machado touches third. Fires to second. Out at first. Oh, my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason.
How about that, Padres TV? Around the horn, 5-4-3, triple play as San Diego beats the Dodgers 4-2. They were 50-50 at one point this season. The Padres, they're 41-16 since then. I'm guessing Mike Schilt might be pushing your boy Murph for that Manager of the Year award out there in the National League. Some scores today, or matchups, I should say, with pertinence to the playoffs. Mariners obviously aren't catching Houston, but they're still 2.5 out of the wild card. 2:10 first pitch in that one. You've got the Rays at the Tigers. That one is coming up here at 6:40 as Detroit continues their hot streak, or looks to do so. Tigers lose, Orioles win. Orioles get the top wild card. Kansas City is at the Nationals there. Mets and the Bravos. The Braves win last night. We'll get to the standings in a second as they creep closer to that wild card. Twins and Marlins, they're getting it on yet again at 7:40. And the Padres are taking on the Dodgers. Now, the standings in the major leagues here, let's get to the division standings. What did I do with it, man? Yankees 5 up on the Orioles. They win the division with a win tonight. Cleveland's already clinched the Central. Same with Houston in the West. Phillies have done it in the East. Brujas have done it in the National League Central. But only two games now separate the Dodgers from the Padres as they are, of course, playing one another. So that has gotten really interesting. Same with the wild card scenarios as well. Orioles have clinched. Kansas City's number two. Detroit's number three. Minnesota, man, they're two back. The old Twinkies are flatlining here at the worst time for Rocco Baldelli. Seattle 2.5 back. And Boston, just go away. Just go away, Boston. They won four in a row. They're 3.5 out of the wild card in the National League. This is where things are really cool. San Diego's clinched. The Mets are in a good spot, you think. Diamondbacks have lost three in a row, which means Atlanta's only a half game behind the Diamondbacks for that last wild card. We're five games left in the regular season. All sorts of great things still going on in the world of Major League Baseball. That is your update for this Wednesday. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. We'll get to the schedule in both the NFL Week 4, college football. How about some big games going on in the world of college football coming in here in Week 5? Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2. And then it's Baltimore Baseball tonight, Salvo Auto Parts, 6 o'clock on The Fan. But if you're looking for an Orioles playoff hat, you can go to the interweb and find yourself one right now. 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll get to the schedule in both college and pro. So some interesting games are going on in both, but let's get out to the phones. Go to Timonium. It's Cool C. Cool C, what's up?
Yeah, Bob, there's about 10 of us watching the game. It's 28-6. Tucker's got a 45-yarder. I said, this is it, boys. We can go to bed after this one.
Yep.
This closes the door. Boom, he shanks it left. That was a bad one. That was worse than the ones outside 50. Wasn't even close.
No doubt.
And I said, oh, my God, now they're starting on the 45. Here we go. Instead of 31-6 and you're kicking off, I said, they left the door just cracked open. And Dallas knows what our defense is like in the fourth quarter. I said, this game isn't over, boys. Oh, don't worry about it. I said, I am worried because I know what happens in the fourth quarter with this team. And sure enough, it just flipped. It was like a momentum switch. It's like, you know, we dropped our heads and they just got life. And you could see it. So I don't know. I'm still with Tucker, but something's not right there. I mean, you know, when you can't, I understand one for his last nine outside 50, but when you miss 45 yarders, man, you can't kick in this league anymore. So I hope they're getting it together with him because we're going to need him. That's the difference in that ball game. Now, one last thing, the safety. And I heard Gene Salatier on here yesterday. What is this throwing the ball just and hitting your lineman in the back and you get a illegal touch?
Right.
What was that all about? That was a complete blown call by the officials. Does the league reprimand them for this? Because that was a 2-point safety. And according to Gene Salatier, that was a safety. He was down in the end zone. So what's that all about, Vinny? I don't understand that call. How do these guys not get that right?
Well, I guess what they say, Bob, because he caught it, that it was illegal touching, not the safety. I mean, that was their explanation. You know, Gene Serator, I would tend to lean to what Gene had to say, you know, more so than what those guys said,
yeah,
because
Harbaugh,
it didn't seem right.
Harbaugh wasn't buying that explanation either. And didn't Lamar, help me out here, Nolan, you're a young guy, didn't he post on social media if that was him, they would have called it a safety?
He did, yeah. So illegal touching, the penalty's on the lineman, not on Dak. So the lineman's standing outside the end zone, that's the thought process there. But it still doesn't answer for, well, everything we've seen watching football for the past however many years says that's intentional grounding, what right. we just saw. So that was, a discretion call by the ref. I didn't know it could be a discretion call, and it certainly worked out in Dallas's favor.
I would imagine that somebody will ask Harbs today because he's speaking this afternoon, and Wednesday's normally when you get the letter from the league saying, oops,
yeah.
sorry.
Our bad.
Yeah.
But like Cool C was saying, and we talked about it on Monday, I was over at my cousin Al's. Tucker makes that field goal. I said to my wife, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Then he missed, and they score. I'm like, grab me another beer. We wound up staying till the end of the game. I thought that thing was all over with, and we talked about this, too, with Justin Tucker in particular. Everything's hooking left for him right now, it seems.
And you know what's crazy, Bob? Because I went and all his PATs, which is 35 yards, right down the middle. I mean, perfectly down the middle. And then you're just 10 yards back farther, and then he's yanking it to the left. I don't know. I mean, because to me, you would just, like, same groove, same swing, same everything for 35, 45, you know? So I don't know. You know, maybe Harbs will explain more what the technique that is, he's lacking on right now.
Yeah, because it looked like John Harbaugh after the game was definitely consoling him, encouraging him, whatever it was, but they were having a heart-to-heart for sure.
Well, he probably saw Tucker was probably in the tank big time, you know, like he let everybody down kind of thing, which he kind of did at that time. But, you know, so he's trying to get him back because, like, you know, the caller, you need him. You're going to need him.
All right, Thursday night, NFL Week 4. That's tomorrow night, a game you can hear on the Fan. Dallas at the Giants. Giants coming off their first win at Cleveland. Dallas 1-2. Got trounced by New Orleans. Ravens were trouncing them. Cowboys are 6-point favorites in this one.
Yeah, and the Giants probably feeling kind of good about themselves. Actually, Bob, in reality, if they had a kicker, they'd be 2-1 right now. Because yeah. the
Daniel
Washington
Jones,
game.
He's played okay.
And Neighbors.
Kid. Oh, yeah. The kid.
Neighbors is crazy. And then they're blitzing everybody on defense. So could it be a shootout type game? You know, possibly. It's short week. Is Dallas going to show up? I mean, when we pick tomorrow, Bob, I may pick the Giants.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it because I'll probably pick wrong either way. New Orleans at Atlanta. Atlanta -1.5. Falcons 0-2 at home. So they're due, I would think.
Yeah, they're due. And what New Orleans offense you getting? Are you getting?
Probably the one better than the one we saw Sunday against Philly. Rams at the Bears. Chicago -2.5. Minnesota's at Green Bay. One of the games of the day. Will Jordan Love be the quarterback for the Pack?
Bob, I mean, I thought he would play last week watching him in the warm-ups and stuff, and so did the guy, the announcer, you know, Rex Ryan and all them were saying, he sure looks like he can play.
And what's Darnold's status? He's got a banged-up knee there.
I think he's supposed to practice every day. The thing that they did say about Green Bay is Green Bay is always over the years ultra conservative with the injuries. So, you know, like if Green in Green Bay's eyes, he was never playing.
Pittsburgh at the Colts, Pittsburgh -2. Steelers undefeated, as we all know. Denver at the Jets. Jets laying a strong 7.5 here. AFC East has become a two-team division. It's Buffalo and the Jets. Miami's done, as we talked about earlier, with Rob Mata and New England. You know, they're rebuilding here.
Yes.
The Drake May clock is ticking, I'm assuming.
Buffalo and the Jets, I want to say they play each other in 3 weeks.
Let's see here. Philly at Tampa. Tampa coming off a disappointing loss Denver at
home.
And
a rookie quarterback torched them.
Eagles by 2.5 there. Cincy's at Carolina. Cincinnati -4.5. Andy Dalton revenge game, if you want to call it that.
If Cincy loses that game, Bob, Ravens may puffy pants them the next week.
Yeah, and it might be stick a fork in them time, too, with that one there. Jacksonville at Houston. Houston got blown out at Minnesota. They're laying 6.5 against the disappointing Jacksonville Ball Club. Washington's at Arizona. Commanders are 2-1. Arizona, a tough luck, 1-3, or 1-2, rather, 3-point favorites.
Yeah, and Kingsbury's going back to Arizona where they fired him. So, that could be a high-scoring game.
New England is at San Francisco, 49ers -10. Cleveland's at the Raiders, Vegas -2. You got Chiefs at the Chargers. Injuries are really bad for Kansas or San Diego, or the Chargers, whatever the hell they are. Big spread here. On the road, Kansas City, 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, you're missing your two starting tackles, missing possibly your quarterback, or if he plays, he's limited. And then you're missing your two of your best defensive players.
Ravens are laying 2.5 against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. Tennessee's at Miami. Dolphins -1. These are two Monday night games. And Seattle's at Detroit. Detroit -3.5. That could be an interesting game. Some of the interesting games coming up here in college football include, well, the marquee game is going to be Georgia and Alabama coming up here on Saturday night. Georgia at Alabama. Georgia laying 2. Against the homestanding Crimson Tide.
Yeah, and Georgia's kind of beat up, I think, in the offensive line a little bit. And, Bob, Kentucky should have beat them.
Yeah, that
12-10.
No doubt. Illinois at Penn State. This is an interesting game, but pretty hefty line. Nittany Lions -19.
Yeah, I don't know that Illinois has faced a team like they're getting ready to face. So, and it's going to be another whiteout game for Penn State, night game. So it's going to be a tough environment for Illinois.
Louisville is at Notre Dame, 3:30. Notre Dame laying 6.5.
6.5, yeah. I mean, Bob, the Irish, even last week against Miami of Ohio, I mean, at halftime, they were stinking up the joint. I mean, you know, they botched a field goal. I mean, they were playing terrible. I mean, they're going to have to play four quarters to beat Louisville because Jeff Brom's a really good coach.
Well, they get Riley Leonard from Duke. You would have thought they got Joe Montana. He's playing like Hannah Montana right now, quarterback.
Yeah, because his passing, he had more rushing yards than passing yards. And Bob, I mean, they sprinted him out a couple times, just throw some little short. I mean, he was throwing them 10 yards over their head. I mean, it was like, seriously?
And as we talked about earlier in the show with Damon Evans, Maryland Athletic Director, Terps at Indiana, Maryland getting 7. And I think, you know, we all get it. Big game for Maryland. That'll help make up for the home loss to Michigan State a little bit.
Well, I think, Bob, you lose this game, you maybe win 5 for the season. You win this game, then you go beat Northwestern, and then you know what? Let's see what happens with SC.
Yeah, you get 5, you don't even get doused with mayonnaise.
Yeah.
You get Miracle Whip. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, fun out trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, take it over at 2. Then it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. 2 playoff teams getting on in the Bronx, 7:05. Or you'll still have a chance to catch New York, but, you know, they got to win every game. And the Buffalo Film Study tomorrow, because he's 66-30 in his career, so he's been a winning quarterback, 5-5 in the playoffs. Coming out of Wyoming, weak competition, was inaccurate. His, 50% completion percentage, what it was. And when they did level up, he didn't play all that great. But the athleticism and the skills were undeniable. But, boy, once he got that complete, 75% right now?
Bob, you know what's crazy is, like, I remember, like, when he came out, what everybody watched, Iowa was the best team they played. And he was awful in that game. You know, and I think that's why he dropped a little bit. But the way he's playing, he's playing spectacular. He's got 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's got 133.7 quarterback rating, and he can run the ball. I mean, if you don't put a guy in the middle of the field, you know, if there's not a linebacker or somebody, he's going.
I think it's safe to say that 2018 draft class, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, that Allen and Lamar are the two best.
Oh, no doubt.
Both MVP-level dudes, both in multiple playoff games, both been paid. Baker's got his dough, and he's got his level of success. I don't even think Josh Rosen's in the league, and hasn't been for a while.
And if Darnold continues, somebody will pay him something next year.
Sam Darnold, he's one of the nice surprises.
Yes, he is.
Of 2024. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the audience before we get to the fun house?
Well, hopefully the Orioles keep the momentum going, but as far as last night, you know, does one game negate the past 2 months, all the issues we've seen with the team? No, it doesn't. They still have a job to do moving forward, but for one night, they looked like a complete team.
Felt like June 15th all over again.
They showed that ability to roll with the punches, respond to momentum swings. It was a hostile environment. You know, given what was on the line for both teams, there was champagne and beers waiting in both clubhouses, a clinching scenario for both teams last night. That was playoff baseball. And the Orioles played winning playoff baseball for the first time in what feels like forever.
It's crazy because you mentioned playoff baseball. Usually when the game's over, I'm out like a light.
Yeah.
But I was kind of charged up. I didn't fall asleep till like 11:30.
Well, plus you see all the relievers that were involved in the game. That's playoff baseball. And the length of games is longer, which is playoff baseball.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw the Bat Boy guzzling beer, but Jackson Holiday had to have sparkling water. It's a crazy thing. All right, let's go to the fun.
Yeah, I'll get to that water.
Quick draws. Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says something overlooked in last night's game, the importance of Dean Kramer's acrobatic defensive play, recovering the dribbler by Wells after Judge's home run. Had Wells reached in that situation, I think the pressure would have ramped up on Kramer, who sometimes tends to get a little frazzled when the hits start mounting up.
Yeah, and O'Hearn made a nice scoop over at first base, too. So that was a great play all around.
Would it have been easier for Urias to make that play?
No. He would have, no way. No way. The play was made. It was made accurately. Degree of difficulty was there. Oh, it was either Ben or McDonald's. Like, man, lucky he didn't hurt himself.
It was an awesome
Ben play. Or Palmer, rather.
So Kramer barehanded it, which was sliding. I think Arias would have had to barehand it as well. So, to Bob's point, not easy either way.
Kramer!
This texter here says the Ravens are just another team in the league having a problem getting their tight ends involved. Tight ends across the league statistically are slumping right now. Kelce and Andrews, the best examples.
Well, what people are doing, look at what Kansas City did. Instead of, you know, against the Ravens, instead of Kelce running those right routes, they had Rasheen Rice running those routes, and he was killing. You know, I think more people are putting quicker, faster guys in there to take advantage of the linebackers because linebackers match up much better with the tight ends.
Speaking of which, Old Buffalo's got a pretty strong tight end group coming in.
Well, they do the same thing. They're going to attack the middle of the field, too. And what they'll do, Bob, is they'll put a receiver back in the backfield, but a little bit wide and run that little Texas route in the middle of the field. And they're going to have to cover the middle of the field.
Steve in Glen Burnie says, if Grayson isn't back to be the third starter in the playoffs, who would you trust the most to fill that role right now?
It's Kramer.
Oh, it's
Kramer. His earned run average is below 3 in his last 8 starts. I mean, he just pitched another clincher last night in hostile territory. I mean, I don't know if I trust Grayson when he comes back to pitch a third game of a wild card series. I mean, he's not even throwing the live batters yet. So, Grayson Rodriguez is probably a guy that helps you, hopefully, in the divisional round.
Right.
But Kramer, I think it's Eflin, Burns, Kramer.
Yeah, because
Kramer. And then Suarez in the bullpen.
They do play in 6 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It is crazy, all the injured players they had, and Grayson lump him in with that group, the Westbergs, Arias, Mountcastle. You know, just a couple weeks ago, I was starting to think that they might not get any of those guys back. Throw in Webb and Coulomb as well. Now they got 90% of those guys back, and they're just waiting on Grayson.
That Eplin trade proved to be huge for the Orioles, because Trevor Rogers, not so much.
And let's see, one more here on the umpires. Texter says, if a home plate umpire is bad on balls and strikes calls, why not just relegate them simply to calling plays in the field, second base, first base, third base, etc.? Reserve the home plate umpiring for the best of the best, those with the good track record.
I think it all just kind of goes around the horn. I mean, you have to be adept at every aspect of being an umpire. And I think everyone has, there are some who are stronger than others. I think statistical data proves that, but you can't, it's like saying, hey, you got to play right field because you're like the crappiest outfielder, like in Little League.
That was when we were growing up.
No, you're going to be the right field line umpire.
Right.
And then pat him on the head and send him out there. Now you got to be all purpose ump and get the robots in here.
And I would imagine that the teams, you know, when they're getting ready for a series or whatever, the four umpires that they go over, this is how this, the game, this is how this guy calls balls and strikes, so be aware.
Yeah, but just do it for nine innings.
No doubt.
Okay, it's a strike inning two, then it's a ball in the, you know what I mean? Just one consistency. I don't think we're asking for much.
Right. There's no.
And it was bad for both teams yesterday. He was equally bad.
I thought Soto was going to hit the guy with the bat on the one.
Oh, both of them. There was a lot of F-bombs being thrown by both managers.
No prep's going to prepare you for getting squeezed at the plate. You can ask all the questions you want. It doesn't matter.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're done. We're back tomorrow with Total Request Thursday. We got Mike Bordick. We're going to start breaking down the Bills film. We're going to get into picks. We're going to have Mike Harmon talk fantasy and real football with him, and other surprises coming your way, so stay tuned. Inside Access is coming up next. Followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.